Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday, this Brother Nate, with the Church Christ Alive message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have a question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to get a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests, your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. Once again, I will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day that you've made. And we thank God that you are God. We're very grateful that you are all wise. And that, Lord, we thank you for the shedded blood of Jesus Christ that brought forth the remission of our sins. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your written word that we may feed upon and be edified in Jesus' name. We're so grateful, Lord, of your love that you have shown towards us, because you showed it first between us before we ever showed it to you. So, dear Lord, we are grateful today that you have opened up such a door of opportunity to petition you once again at this hour, asking you, Lord, that you will let your spirit be with us as we take this journey into this lesson once again. And dear Lord, we ask along the way that you would just release revelation, understanding, and knowledge. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on part four, Renouncing Mormonism, the Atonement. And I want to just say up front to those of you who are first-time listeners, Blog Talk Radio does record our past broadcasts. And I want to encourage you to go back and listen after you listen to this today to parts 1 to 3, that you may be caught up to speed on the overall subject that I'm dealing with here. We are on part four, Renouncing Mormonism, the Atonement, and we are discussing the Mormons' teaching concerning the Atonement, their stand, and how that it is different from the very Word of God, and why that it give us as Christians, especially in the Church of Christ, the Lies and Message, the right to renounce Mormonism. Because as we have been bringing to you guys, proclaiming and expounding on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, which is the work of restitution, restoration, through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as spoken in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3 and 4, Acts chapter 3, Deuteronomy 18, and seeing that Joseph Smith, who started off at one time in the Lord as a man of God in his humility, but strayed off the path in his pride. And in his pride, he started what is known today as Mormonism. And Mormonism directly is ungodly and not of God. And because of Joseph Smith's connection to this work of restitution, restoration of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been proclaiming to you guys, and because of his connection is more or less in his prideful, falling out the way state where he started Mormonism, we must renounce any ungodly thing that has connected itself to this work of restitution, restoration of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, however, it is not what some of you may call a bashing on Mormons, or what some of you say, you're not showing love. I do not hate the Mormons. I love them with the love of God. My prayer is that they will be saved or accept salvation to be born again. But however, that does not neglect the fact or the right for me to renounce their teachings when more and more it is unscriptural and ungodly. And yet still, by some, they're being labeled as a Christian organization. Having said that, I want to continue today with part four of the atonement. And I was last sharing with you guys about their teaching on the atonement. And I was going over the part with you all where that where they stood in dealing with the atonement and how that I left out with you guys on the part about, see, the Mormons, their leaders, the ones that they're very high on, like Joseph Smith and especially Brigham Young. Joseph Smith, as I said, started off as a man of God. In his failings, he started Mormonism, and he came up with all these off-the-wall doctrines and was claiming it was of God. Now, in his humility, he was coming with the true word. But when he got off the path, he was coming with teachings and doctrines that was ungodly. And I want to say this before I go any further. Any one of us as a Christian is subject to that. I say it again. Any one of us as a Christian is subject to that. We're subject to get off the mark and come up with stuff that is not of God. Okay? Now, some of you Christians hearing that might, oh, no, I won't get off that. Okay, well, you say what you want to say. And I'm not saying that to condone doing it. I'm just saying that any of us can do it. The last thing that I left off with you guys on is their stance on the atonement where that their leaders taught. And this is one of the things, the Mormons, when you talk to them about Joseph Smith or Oliver Cowdery, they don't want to too much get into their failures. Okay? All you hear, especially when they witness to you, is the prophet Joseph Smith, the prophet Joseph Smith, where you would think that Joseph Smith was truly God. Okay? But as I said before, the last thing I left off with you guys on is how that they teach and believe that the blood of Christ, which is shed in the atonement, to reconcile us back to God, give man a chance to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ of all our sins. They teach that the atonement or the shed blood of Christ, there were certain sins it could not atone for. Amen. And I have been reading to you their leaders' testimonies on that, where they were saying that the blood of Christ, there were certain sins that the blood of Christ could not atone for. In other words, when you look at it from what they're saying, that there are certain sins that were too strong for the blood of Jesus to atone for, that the blood of Jesus was not strong enough to cleanse a man of these particular sins. Now, that's interesting because the Bible said the wages of sin is death. So if the blood of Jesus could not cleanse us of all our sins, then death would still have a right or a hold on us. And then that would mean that there was no way to totally break death. You understand what I'm saying? Because if the blood of Christ couldn't do it, okay, if it couldn't do it, man, then death still have a hold. And so through that, they say that a man, the sins that Christ could not, his blood cannot atone for, man must shed his own blood to atone for. So when you look at it that way, they're saying that the blood of man is more powerful than the blood of Christ when it comes to certain sins. So the last thing I left out was on, I started to go into you with these certain sins that they said that the blood of Christ did not atone for. And the last one I went off talking to you about was, they said, adultery. Adultery. Yes, I think it was adultery. Amen. Let me make sure. Yes, I think it was adultery. The last one that I stopped off at, it was either adultery or murder. I think it's adultery. I want to get this clear. Amen. Now, I last talked to you guys about the murder, okay? And amen. And I gave you some some of their testimonies on it, actually, and their testimonies is taken in a book that is called The Changing World of Mormonism, Gerald and Sandra Tanner. Now, once again, Sandra Tanner is the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, who was their, quote, second prophet, who the Mormons looked at as a god. And she was in Mormonism for many years, and she came out of it. So she's giving and talking about the testimonies, you know, of their leaders and what their stance on adultery, stand on this issue of atonement. And just in case, I'm going to go back and pick this up with adultery again, because I'm going to go to a scripture in the Bible concerning this. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, like I said, the list of these certain sins that they said that the blood of Christ couldn't atone for, one of them is murder. Now, and I read to you about a murder, and now let's look at adultery. The other one is adultery and immorality. So they're saying that the blood of Christ cannot atone for a man committing adultery and immorality. Okay. And it says here, the apostle Bruce M. McConkie, they're one of their apostles, once lamented, and he says, modern governments do not take the life of the adulterer, and some of them have done away with the supreme penalty where murder is involved, all of which is further evidence of the direful apostasy that prevails among the people who call themselves Christians. Now, one of the things when I read you, you will notice that they're calling for a person to be killed so their blood can be shed to atone for their sins. Okay. You know, when you look at it, these people who talking about murder, they're calling for murdering or killing. Okay. Brigham Young proclaimed, this is what he said. Now listen to this. He said, let me suppose a case. Suppose you found your brother in bed with your wife and put a javelin through both of them. You would be justified and they would atone for their sins. Do you hear that? And be receiving to the kingdom of God. Okay, so people, when Luke chapter 13, the Lord said, except y'all repent, you should likewise perish. Where's repentance? He's saying here that if your brother was in bed with your wife, that's adultery and incest, and you take a javelin and run it through both of them, which is going to draw blood, right? He said, you'll be justified, and they would atone for their sin. So by you killing them and their blood running out, they're going to atone for their own sin. So, my God. So by you sinning and causing a consequences of death to come upon you where your blood is shed, you atone for your sins that way. So you got to be in the act of sin to cause a death to come on you, and through that, you're going to atone for your own sins. He goes on to say, I would at once do so in such a case and under such circumstances. He said, I have no wife whom I love so well that I would not put a javelin through her heart and would do it with clean hands. How you going to do that with clean hands? God didn't tell you to execute nothing like that. No, you'll be taking judgment into your own hand. You will be murdering. Okay? Amen. He said, there is not a man or woman who violates the covenants made with their God that would not be required to pay the debt. And you know what the pay the debt means. He said, the blood of Christ would never wipe that out. Your own blood must atone for it. That's in a book, Journal of Discord, Volume 3. He said, the blood of Christ would never wipe that out. Your own blood got to do that. People, listen. If your own blood could atone for any of your sins, what would be the use of Christ shedding his blood? You understand that? See, death needed to be totally conquered, not partially conquered, okay? Because if you partially conquer, that means it still got a stronghold somewhere. And the only one that can do it is Christ. And the only one that could do it was Christ. None of us could do it. Why? Because we had sin. We had sin in our life, which gave death a legal right to us. Another one of their leaders named Heber C. Kimball, who was a member of the first presidency, reflected. Now, this is what he said. He said, these are my views, and the Lord knows that I believe in the principles of sanctification. And when I am guilty of seducing any man's wife or any woman in God's world, I say, get this, sever my head from my body. That's in that book, Journal of Discord. Okay? Sever my head from my body. Now, hopefully we go on through time, and in the Art of Faith to Practice, we'll touch a little bit more on how that also Mormons practice masonry. See, this is where they get all these oaths and stuff would come from, especially when we talk about the temple. Anyhow, let's go on. He says, but they cannot hoard here. For gentlemen, if there is anything of that kind, we will slay both men and women. We would do it as the Lord liveth. We will slay such characters. Now, my question, who gave you the right to execute such a judge? But anyhow, he said, now, which would be the most worthy to be slain? The woman that had her endowments and made certain covenants before God, or the man that knew nothing about it? The woman, of course. So he said, if the man and the woman is caught in the act of this seduction and I guess adultery or fornication or whatever, or immorality, he asks, who is more worthy to be slain, the woman or the man? In other words, he said, if the woman, if she had her endowments and made her covenant before God, she is more worthy to be slain than the man that didn't know God. You see, people, how all this is getting off the wall here. What is this? He says, our females are not clean. That's why I kind of feel, I really feel for the Mormon women. He said, our females are not unclean, for we wipe all unclean ones from our midst. Whoa. I wonder how you go about doing that. But anyhow, he said, we not only wipe them from our streets, but we wipe them out of our existence. Now, that's some strong words. You talking about being a murderer. You want to talk about God is against murder, but you're talking about being a murderer. He says, so help me God, while I live, I will lend my hand to wipe such persons out. And I know this people will. That's in their Millennium Star, Volume 16. Also printed in their Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, okay? Another one of their members called himself Apostle George A. Smith adds, and this is what he said. He said, the principle that only one that beats and throbs through the heart of the entire inhabitants of this territory is simply this. The man who seduces his neighbor's wife must die, and her nearest relative must kill him. People, I know some of y'all saying, man, this sounds delirious. This is in their Journal of Discord, Volume 1, recorded by Sandra Tanner, the great-great-granddaughter of who? Brigham Young. So this, like I said, this other sins that the blood of Christ don't atone for is adultery and immorality. Now, I want to turn you guys' attention And I think it's in John chapter 8. Let me get this straight here. I think it's in, let's go to John chapter 8. And I want to start reading from verse 4. I want to read from verse 4 to verse 11. John chapter 8 started from verse 4 to verse 11. Okay. Now, let's look at this. This is interesting here. Okay. Coming from the Bible. John chapter 8. And I'm giving you, I've been giving you guys different scriptures throughout this series, this part of the series here, on why their so-called teaching of the atonement is ungodly. Now, look what it says. John chapter 8, verse 4. It said, they say unto him, now let's start at verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So the master, she was doing it. She was in the act of adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Whoa, did you see? Did you hear that? Those of you that are Mormons, I hope that you're listening to this too. Did you hear that? He said, he without sin, let him cast first stone. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thy accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Okay, she was caught in adultery now. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now get this. If Jesus can forgive her, now, he hadn't even shed the blood yet. And he can forgive her for adultery, and he ain't shed the blood yet. How come when he shed the blood, it's not powerful enough to wipe away her sin of adultery or any sin of adultery? How come is that? How is that? That don't make no sense, okay? He going to tell the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, woman, where are your accusers? She said, oh, Lord, there is none. Where the one condemn you? There is none. And Jesus said, well, I don't condemn you neither. Now, he had the grace and the love and power to do that while he ain't even shed the blood yet. But yet still, you're going to tell me that through the atonement of his blood being shed, it couldn't cover for that adultery. Why didn't he tell the woman, said, go and get in front of the fire squad and let them kill. Or in other words, let's give you one step better. How come he didn't tell the men who were about to stone her, even though they were using that to tempt him? How come he didn't tell them, say, well, you know what y'all need to do. She needs to atone for her sin. You know what needs to be done. Her blood needs to be shed. How come he never said that? People, listen. Jesus, the word of God tells us that the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all our sins. 1 John chapter 1. All of our sins. Okay? That's what the blood of Jesus does. So any act that is under the category of sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses. But you have people like the Mormons who are going out and telling folks, well, his blood could only atone, it couldn't atone for all the sins. And see, so many times they contradict them on their own self. They're talking away like, okay, Jesus atoned for our sins. And you go, oh, okay, they believe that all our sins is atoned for. And then next thing, they go, well, there were certain ones he couldn't atone for, huh? This is what their leaders taught. These are one of the same ones they hold in high regard, okay? Who says that the blood of Jesus could not atone for a man if he commit murder, and now we're looking at adultery or immorality. And yet still, they're being labeled as a Christian organization, and yet still, some of us as Christians have accepted that label. You know why? One reason why, because we have taken on the phrase of the world. We're taking on the spirit of the world. Let's show them love and peace by accepting and tolerating. That's the world standard, people. That's the standard. That's the world standard. You want to get along with somebody? Accept and tolerate. Amen. I want to read to you another sin that they claim that the blood of Christ could not atone for. Wow. Stealing. Stealing. Okay? The following statement appeared in a Mormon's publication called Times and Seasons. President Joseph Smith said, "I want the elders to make honorable proclamation abroad concerning what the feelings of the First Presidency is. Stealing has never been tolerated by them. I despise a thief above ground." That's in their Times and Seasons publication book, Times and Seasons. I think it was a publication book or a magazine, volume 4. Listen to Brigham Young. Brigham Young taught that thieves should have their throats cut. Man, you know, let me ask you a question. And before I read this, what he said, where's the mercy of God? Now, I know if people does things to us, we get upset, and we got to go pray and get it off us. But if you listen to these men, Brigham Young, Heber C. Kimball, Joseph Smith and his failure and all that, they call for automatic death, kill, okay, when you commit these things. President Young, Brigham Young, then spoke against thieving, said he, "I should be perfectly willing to see thieves have their throats cut." Some of you may say, if that is your feelings, Brigham, we'll lay you aside sometime. Well, do it if you can. Let me go back and read this again. It says, President Young then spoke against thieving, and he, as said he, this is what he said, "I should be perfectly willing to see thieves have their throats cut. Some of you may say, if that is your feelings, Brigham, we'll lay you aside sometime. Well, do it if you can. I would rather die by the hands of the meanest of all men, false brethren, than to live among thieves." That's in their History of the Church book, volume 7. Okay? So Brigham said, hey, you know, all thieves should have their throats cut. He goes on to say, "If you want to know what to do with a thief that you may find stealing, I say kill him on the spot, my Lord, and never suffer him to commit another iniquity. If I caught a man stealing on my premises, I will be very apt to send him straight home, and that is what I wish every man to do. This appears hard and throws a cold chill over our revered traditions. But I have trained myself to measure things by the line of justice. If you would cause all those whom you know to be thieves to be placed in a line before the mouth of one of our largest cannon, well loaded with chain shot, I will prove by my works whether I can mete out justice to such person or not. I will consider it just as much my duty to do that as to baptize a man for the remission of his sins." That's in their book, Journal of Discord. Did you hear what I just read? Okay. Now tell me something. Now be honest. If y'all just heard a regular preacher talk like that, what would you think? Forget for a minute now, it being a Mormon. If you heard a regular preacher talk like that, what would some of you think? I guarantee you many of you say, man, what kind of preacher is that? Man, he's straight up, you know. Man. Now, if Jesus would have thought that way completely about us, how many of us would be alive today? wouldn't be on here talking to you. Amen. Bring them young, all their other followers, all they will bow. If you commit these certain sins to death, be you. You should have your throat cut. Man, this is like violent talking, people. Violent talking. And yet still, they had connected themselves through Joseph Smith to the work of the restitution of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet too many of us as Christians have played, as Brother Lee would say, silence of the lamb. We won't say nothing. We won't open our mouth. And so therefore, when we're witnessing to people about this work, and people go back and search and come back and say, hey, I found out that y'all have some connection to Joseph Smith. Y'all Mormons. Well, hey, I found out y'all part of the Mormon church. Too many of us go silent. I don't have nothing to say. We don't talk about other churches. Come on, people. First of all, the Mormonism is not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not. I repeat, it is not Christ's church. Let's get that. Quit listening to the world putting their own labor on what is Christian, what is not. That's what's happened. Because they come across certain people who smile at you, may do a good gesture. You need 3 cents for the paper, your bubble gum. They give you 3 cents with a smile. You know, all this kind of stuff. And next thing we know, oh, they're Christians. Because they say God and they say Jesus at times. They're Christians. They're our brothers and sisters. Well, they're not my brothers and sisters in Christ, because they have not really accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and the only God. Once again, they teach that you become a Mormon, you can go to become a God. What kind of stuff is that? That ain't scripture. That is not scripture, people. Another one of their leaders, Apostle Orson Hyde. Apostle Orson Hyde said, it would have a tendency to place a terror on those who leave these parts that may prove their salvation when they see the heads of thieves taken off. I guess you're going to scare them to get saved, huh? Or shot down before the public. I believe it to be pleasing in the sight of heaven to sanctify ourselves and put these things from our midst. Once again, in their book, Journal of Discord, Volume 1. So Apostle Orson Hyde said, hey, I would have a tendency to place terror on people, on those who lead these parts, that they may see, you know, what happened. You leave. That may prove their salvation when they see the heads of thieves taken off. So you're going to scare folks into dealing with salvation. You want them to see somebody's head get cut off or get shot down in the public. You know, that's what a lot of your gangs and gangsters do, you know, to put fear in their enemies and stuff like that. They'll do drive-bys. Okay. Another sin. Another thing they say is sin, that the blood of Christ don't atone for, is using the name of the Lord in vain. In the Journal of Hosea Stout, Brigham Young is recorded as saying, I tell you the time is coming when that man uses the name of the Lord is used, the penalty will be affixed and immediately be executed on the spot. You hear that? The Journal of Hosea Stout, Volume 2, or the type copy at Utah State Historical Society. So Brigham Young recorded saying, hey, man that uses the name of the Lord name in vain will be executed on the spot. Wow. Could you imagine if God was like that? How many of us would be left? As soon as you do that, sit, you gone. Who would be left, people? Now, understand this. Brother Nate is not condoning sin. Now, what they're talking about is sin, okay? We're not condoning sin, and there's a judgment that comes. But if you listen to the way they do it, they talking about immediately, boom, boom, bam, right then, cut your throat, shoot you down, put you in front of a cannon, all this stuff. Man, that sounds like mafia type of stuff, man. My God, help us. Another sin that he said that the blood of Christ, the atonement could not atone for, is not for not receiving the gospel. Brigham Young once proclaimed, the time is coming when justice will be laid to the line and righteousness to the plummet. When we shall ask, are you for God? And if you are not hardly on the Lord's side, you will be hewn down. That's in their Journal of Discourse, Volume 3. I say, wow. Amen. Now I'm gonna go to the Bible right quick. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. And then I'm gonna go into one more thing that they call the sin. And Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Amen. I want to start at verse, let's see, I want to start at verse 32 and go to verse 43. Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 32 and going to verse 43, he said, and there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood before him, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And as a superscription also was written over him in letters of the Greek and Latin and Hebrews, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now the malefactors, when you go to, I think that's Matthew 27, they were thieves. A thief is somebody that steals, right? Now, once again, the Mormons talking about stealing is one of the sins that the blood of Christ can't atone for. Well, how come when these men were thieves, and this one of the thieves who really humbled himself and admit, hey, I'm up here, it's just that I'm up here. Jesus ain't did nothing. How come Jesus say, prayer I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise? How is it that he was able to accept the man and telling he gonna be with him in paradise? Jesus hadn't completely died yet, but he was accepting him before the blood is totally shed. Okay, but yet still, after the blood is totally shed, his shedded blood could not cover the man's sins. It couldn't cover stealing. Wow. The thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. How come Jesus said, well, only way you're going to get in there is that you got to have your blood shed? How come Jesus, and none of that had he alluded, when you read in the Bible alone, how is it that at no time concerning man's sin have Jesus ever alluded to You got to atone for your own sins through your own blood. Why is that, Mormons? I'm going to address this question. If you're a Mormon, you listening, hey, 515-605-9887. 515-605-9887. I'm not here to start an argument or debate. I want you to answer that question. How come, even in the record of Nephites, another one of the Lord's book, you don't find Jesus saying that there are certain sins that are any sin that man has to shed his own blood to atone for? People, there was two bloods shedded in concerning man. Number one, the blood of animals, which only can atone, that atone was only to cover and not take away, and the blood of Christ, okay? Man at no time was given to shed his own blood to atone for his own sin. You get that? Now, let me come across one more sin that they said that the blood of Christ don't cover. And I want to mention this now. I'm going to mention a little of this because, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to mention a little of this. And I'm going to tell you why, because if the Lord say the same, I might go into this a little bit further. A little bit later on in one of the other articles of faith and practice in another one, because personally, I think this last one is going to require more to be talked on this. And I know that for some, it may be an uncomfortable subject, but it got to be talked about. Now, some of you may say, well, what is this other one that you're talking about, this other sin that you're talking about later on? You're going to have to get into it more, okay? Here's what it is. This is the other one that they talked, that the blood of Christ cannot atone for. They said the blood of Christ cannot atone for marriage to an African. Yeah, I'm taking a pause for a minute to let that sink in, to a black person in general. Yes, people, there has been prejudice, racial prejudice, in Mormonism. You know, I used to wonder for years, when I would see the Mormons, I noticed I didn't see no black people with them. Now, I'm just going to be, let's be straight up here, okay? Now, for some of you, you might feel uncomfortable on this subject, but racism still exists today, people. It still exists. Now, I'm not up here to try to you and bad you. I'm going to come straight up with you on this. I don't say this to be, quote, bashing white people or bashing my Caucasian brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not here to do that, but I'm going to come with the truth on this. Now, in Mormon, like I said, this other sin that they claim that the blood of Christ does not atone for is marriage to an African or marriage to a black person. Now, let me read to you the recorded comment by Brigham Young. Brigham Young said, "Shall I tell you the law of God in regard to the African race? If the white man, now listen to this, who belongs to the chosen seed," now, he said the white man belonged to the chosen seed. Man, we didn't heard that, what, the Ku Klux Klan, all of that. White supremacy is what that teaching is. But anyhow, he said, if the white man who belongs to the chosen seed mixes his blood with the seed of Cain, they call it black people the seed of Cain, the penalty under the law of God is death on the spot. This will always be so. That's in their Journal of Discourse, Volume 10. Yep. Now, like I said, later on, I'm going to go through a time where they've been using a scripture from the, there's a scripture in the record of Nephi. And like I said, Joseph Smith, in his righteous walk. God did use him to translate, or gave him the translation of the record of Nephi. But they took of the record of Nephi and changed it to the Book of Mormon and changed some words in it. But in their own book, it talked. We're going to, Lord say later on, another time, we're going to go into this subject a little bit more deeper and the scriptures that they are using. Okay. Wilford Woodruff, okay, who became the fourth president of the Mormon Church, recorded in his journal an address delivered by President Brigham Young in 1852. In this address, we find the following. Man mingle his seed with the seed of Cain. The only way he could get rid of it or have salvation would be to come forward and have his head cut off and spill his blood upon the ground. It would also take the life of his children. Did you hear that? Wilford Woodruff's journal, January 16, 1852, type copy, original located in LDS Church archives. Did you hear that? So Wilford Woodruff recorded that Brigham Young said, if a white man who is supposed to be of the chosen seed mingle his seed with Cain, which he's calling the black people, he can't even have salvation. People, that's some serious business. All this I'm reading to you guys and reporting to you guys is all serious. But look at this. And like I said, for the longest of time, I used to, when I would look at the Mormons and I see them go out and do their witnesses and stuff like that, and even with their ministry, I was noticing how I never saw no one of color. And people, you can pick up on some stuff quick. Okay? For years, I can look at commercials on TV and tell you it's dealing with a race issue. Now, some of you here that say, oh, there you go, Brother Nate, you're making everything a race issue. No, I'm not. I'm not telling you every single thing is a race issue, but I'm telling you this much, the biggest portion of it is. Now, whether you want to hear it or not, like I said, I know some of you probably feeling a little uncomfortable on this subject. You might want to click me off. Hey, I'm going to tell you like this. Love you in the Lord anyhow, okay? But this is the truth, and we got to address the truth, okay? There is and has been racism in Mormonism. Hallelujah. Now, let me read to you probably one or two more before I close out. Mormon writer Lester E. Bush, Jr. admits that in this address, Brigham Young taught that miscegenation, that's a new word on me, miscegenation required blood atonement, or in other words, offspring included, for salvation. In other words, your children die for it too. According to the excerpts from the weekly council meeting of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, this doctrine was still being taught in 1897. In a report for December the 15th, 1897, we read, President Cannon said he had understood President Taylor to say that a man who had the priesthood, who would marry a woman of the accursed seed, you hear that? Cursed seed is the black person. That if the law of the Lord were administered upon him, he would be killed and his offspring, for the reason that the Lord had determined that the seed of Cain should not receive the priesthood in the flesh. Excerpts from the weekly council meetings of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles dealing with the rights of Negroes in the church, 1849 to 1940, as published in Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, page 582. I'm going to stop it there, people. I'm going to stop it there. Did you hear that? I think that they recently, and I forgot what year, that they recently started letting black folks get into the priesthood. They I heard back here a few years ago, they began to talk back at this particular verse they were using to say black people couldn't be in the priesthood. Once again, it ain't many. It ain't many. See, the bride that Christ coming back for is not going to be prejudiced. You know why? Because the bride that Christ coming back for is going to realize that God created all of us as one blood. See, everyone that's claiming to be a Christian, quote, in the body, is not for that. And see, here in Mormonism, like I said, they was even talking about you. You can't even be saved because you're married to a black person. Okay? I remember seeing a interview they did with Sandra Tanner. I got a chance to see her. What she looked like, I think she had already passed. I forgot what year. I think she had. She was up in, I want to say up in age at that time when I seen it. But she was talking about one of the things that surprised her when she found out what they felt about dealing with black people. Dealing with men. I saw the interview, okay, that they did with her on that. Amen. Can you say wow? I sure can. Wow. But like I said, the Lord said the same for us over with. I want to come a little bit more on this subject. But like I said, I know some of you probably felt uncomfortable. Because I want to close with this. Not only, let me put some Mormons to the side first in a minute. Among the body of Christ, there are some what I call topics that we don't discuss, but on the side, on a shorter list, there is what I call some hot topics we don't discuss in the body of Christ. And one of them is racism. We won't discuss it. We'll try to hide it, cover it up. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about certain things being done because of racism. Amen. But here I'm going to say this as I get ready to close. It's not going to stay hidden longer, people. God's going to put a cloak on it because, remember, he created us all under one blood. So a white man is subject to sin just like a black man. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, you could say hallelujah. You can go ahead and say, well, you can say, I don't know. You won't be right, but you can go say that. Okay? Lord Jesus. And that's what we got going on, people. So they say that other sin that Christ blew out of the tomb for is you get married to an African or a black person. Wow. The Word of God tells me that God created all men. So why would he create a cursed people? Okay. What would he do that for? Lord. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is God, and we thank you for this opportunity you've given us. Dear Lord, we ask today that you will bless us, keep us, strengthen us, and I pray that, Lord God, you will water the seed that I've sown that it may bring forth the increase. In the name of Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you listening to the word. Don't forget, tonight at 7 p.m., the Lord say the same. Brother Eddie Lee will be back with the full gospel message with Brother Eddie Lee. Look for that at 7 p.m. tonight. So once again, this is Brother Nate, the Church of Christ Alive's message, and the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.